Happy 30th anniversary, the Maples Evangelical Church. This pandemic has limited celebration, even in our anniversary celebration. But that should not stop us from praising God, thanking Him for that 30 years of faithfulness He had shown to His church. Pandemic has not just limited celebration, but it has also limited traveling to different destinations that each one loved to go. Now, have you heard of the latest advisory that you can now cross the border if you are vaccinated, even with two different vaccine? I don't know when would that be. I'm not trying to think or if you are hoping to go to the other side of the border, you can find that online. Well, while the government has loosened the travel advisory, it would be very smart to be alert about safety measure and to avoid unnecessary delay, unnecessary accidents. For the sake of those who are viewing online, because we are live streaming right now, for those who are not very particular of the province of Manitoba, those who have not traveled here in Manitoba, or those who are still planning to travel in Manitoba, for your information, is a very flat. It has a very flat terrain, and highways of Manitoba stretch to kilometers, miles and miles and miles and miles, kilometers by kilometers, and you can see as far as your eyes can see if you are driving. And those straight highways with no bends, it makes me not enjoy driving. There's not much challenge in driving in the highways of Manitoba. Instead, you feel bored because it's so straight, and you see the same thing almost. Do you enjoy driving? Do you enjoy traveling through Manitoba highways? For you who love long driving, some of you love to go on the other side of the border because there are a lot of challenges driving there. Well, in provincial roads, provincial road passing through small towns, while driving in Manitoba, it requires slower driving speeds, and that would be added inconvenience for others, but it should also help one to be alert that you are driving. And there are road construction, as we have learned that in this country or in this province, there are four seasons or five seasons, for six seasons. There's winter, spring, summer, fall, pandemic season, and construction season. Road construction along the highway are welcome inconvenience that may awake sleepy drivers, so that when you're driving, you need to be alert because you need to slow down when you are passing through construction area. You might have double fine if you overspeed. So take note of that. Well, this morning, I am not very careful in driving. When we were coming when we were coming here, we saw Tim Horton. And then I said, "Say, you want to go to Tim Horton?" "Yes." "Now." "Yes." And then I went through and I forgot it's red light. I'm expecting police there. Many times in the morning there are police, and I went through red light, right? Red light. And everyone was scared. Well, there are not a lot, there's not a lot of cars passing, but I went through red light. Imagine that. Well, that is when you are preoccupied, when you are driving. And when you are driving with a straight highway, because of that, you have no challenge, much challenge in driving, your mind will be preoccupied of something, or I don't know. Even with wide, straight, less traffic highways, accidents are not absent. Actually, drivers become more complacent, unaware, unmindful of probable disaster. Now, have you changed your tire now to winter tires? It's time to change your summer tire if you don't have all weather, all terrain, all season tire. Well, there are warning signs, speed limits. Speed limits are really studied scientifically so that if you are within that speed limit, especially at the curb, at the bend, you won't go to the ditch. And there are also highway patrols, and they are useful in keeping motorists, drivers, drive safely. But there are still accidents that would happen. Why is that? Why is that? It only shows that when there's not lots of challenges in life, it's kind of like smooth sailing driving cannot assure perfect driving. And also, smooth sailing life cannot assure perfect life. Everyone makes a mistake. You may not make a mistake, but the next driver would. We don't know that. But here is one thing that will be reminded. Just as straight highways are less challenging, they may cause motorists to be not very alert, and it invites accidents. Don't worry about accident much. Just go and do what you do best. Don't think about that accident. Instead, it should alert you to keep focus on what you should do. In this life, we always make mistakes. But even with that, God will keep you keeping on until he has accomplished his purposes in you. Well, who among us would not prefer smooth sailing life? Don't you like smooth sailing life? Do you like it? You love it. You love smooth sailing life. Our passage this morning is about smooth sailing life. And this is a timely reminder for us to be faithful to the Lord. As background of our passage this morning, Apostle Paul was traveling to Jerusalem. And he passed by. He had a time with the Ephesian leaders, and they had a prayer time. In this time, they said, they bid goodbye. And Apostle Paul sailed in ship in the hope of reaching Jerusalem before the day of Pentecost. At the time, sailing was very smooth and very convenient, if you would. And there was no storm whatsoever. There was no problem in that they encountered. And a reminder, when life is smooth sailing, many would claim, it's God's grace, no problem. But life without drama can cause anyone to lay down their guards and not alert. Apostle Paul had sailed on ship, going to Jerusalem without drama, without any other story to tell, from the letter of Dr. Luke in the book of Acts. Let's read again verse 1 to 3. After we had turned ourselves away from them, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Kos. The next day we went to Rhodes and from there to Patara. We found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, went on board and set sail. After sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, we sailed on to Syria. We landed at Tyre, where our ship was to unload its cargo. Can you imagine that? Do you love that situation? There's not much drama, but if you would imagine it, they just have smooth sailing trouble. Did they? How many of you have aboard a ship, cruise? Or just traveling from south to, if you're from the south in the northern, in the Philippines, you may have traveled to Manila through ship. Or if you've been from Visayas, you have traveled from Manila or Batangas through the islands. And at the time when the Apostle Paul was traveling, he traveled by ship. There was no ministry commitment, and he was just focused on traveling faster, going to Jerusalem. But he preferred to sail on board a ship. He might not wish to have extra activity on the sides. And Dr. Luke included the places they passed by, they went through, but no significant activity whatsoever that he has recorded. Why was that? That is a reality in life, actually, and in ministry. No drama. If you are to think of the 30 years faithfulness of God to the Meeples Evangelical Church, what would you say? What would you talk about? You might be talking about the drama more than many activities that you have done. Sometimes life is smooth sailing, but life in the ministry is worth remembering too, even when there's no unnecessary drama. But when Apostle Paul and his team had sailed smoothly, Dr. Luke didn't bother to write what they did. Why was that? Was it not worthy to be included in the Bible? No significant activity was recorded. And that's a reality of life. Didn't Dr. Luke experience small sailing travel? Or did they have exciting activities while they traveled? Was it boring kind of life? Why didn't he wrote something like, "We eat lobster with gusto"? Well, there's this article that I read yesterday. There's new gossip in town that lobster is the cause of. Did you read that? COVID. Did you read that? Lobster and COVID, you search that in the internet and you will find that article. Because they think that COVID started from lobster. So beware of that. It might be true. I don't know. Well, anyway, why didn't Dr. Luke write if they eat something like crab, what else? Pampano or shark or shark fins, shark soup, shark fin soup, or something like that, or sipping cold aid, or whale watching, taking selfie, not selfie, or playing board game. Were they bored when they were aboard a ship? that Dr. Luke didn't even bother to write those activities? Were they worth adding in the Bible? Aren't those things that we love to post on social media? You look at social media, it's flooded with those kind of activities that are not Bible worthy. And even Christians would do that. What is it that we see on social media? See how much delicious food that we eat sometimes or many times or every time. And yet, Dr. Luke Niebuhr said in the book of Acts, we eat delicious food. We eat lobster, shrimp, big shrimps. We went fishing. He didn't say that. We love to put flowers. Actually, I changed the profile of Maribel and put flowers that I planted. Yeah. I do that too. Fish, when we go fishing, or places that we go to, we want to tell the world that we've been here. The activities that we do, we love to do that. And yet we cannot find it in the Bible. In that small sailing travel of Dr. Luke, he never bothered to write those things down. What is it that we post? Relevant to ministry. Things that we post in social media that are relevant to the work of the Lord. Many people, even believers, become complacent when life is smooth sailing. And perhaps most of us Christians are very complacent. This is why God allowed the pandemic. I don't know, it's my theory, but don't tell that to everyone. So that we will become more prayerful. And while waiting for the coming of the Lord again, many Christians live as if they are relaxing, sailing on board a ship. And that's what many people consider as abundant life, is it? Someone said, there's calmness before storm. So be on your guard always. Be prayerful as you enjoy the tranquility, the peacefulness of your life. Our life on earth can be smooth sailing, but it's sure it's like running a marathon. There will be finish line. And will you be receiving your reward? Will you be receiving your prize at the end, at the finish line? It's very tiring kind of life, but we have to keep on keeping on. And only by God's grace that we can be faithful. Faithfulness is a product of faith. Faithfulness is a product of faith, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We can be faithful serving the Lord as He enables us, empowers us by His Holy Spirit. Believer's life on earth is like a marathon, remember that. By God's grace, we need to keep pushing until we reach the finish line. At the finish line, will you receive your reward? Have you heard about the American athlete named Ben Payne? Ben Payne? Payne? Ben Payne, he was rejoicing. Oh, he's nearing a few yards, perhaps something from here to that wall. And he's raising his hand, but he missed his chance to win the 10-kilometer race. Do you have that, Louis? That one. The one who was raising his finger. He was nearing the finish line. But what Payne didn't realize, he was running the race in Georgia. He competed with several Olympians. And the British Olympic marathoner, Scott Overall, his name is Scott Overall, he was running was so fast. And both Payne and Scott Overall pumped their fist at the finish line. And it seems like, if you look at that, if you can just type on the YouTube, Ben Payne. And it was double check, and Overall was the overall winner. He was declared winner. And Payne, he was in pain because he lost the chance to win that 10-kilometer race. Well, that story is not exclusive. There are many instances where when runners would celebrate before they reach the final line, then feel sorry for not winning the prize. When life seems smooth sailing, it is when most unprepared of untoward incidents that may happen. We don't control our life. So we need to be prayerful always, even when life is smooth sailing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 to 19, Basil Paul remind us, let's read. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. When life is challenging, when life is smooth sailing, when life, we don't know anything anymore, pray continually. Pray continually. Give thanks in circumstances. Don't push that idea. We can only give thanks to the Lord and praise Him when the Holy Spirit is at work in our life. Good or bad situation, we can thank God. So when it's bad situation, like this pandemic, can we thank God? No, from our heart. No, from the human heart, we cannot. But with God's grace, we can. So when you cannot sense that thankfulness in your heart, when you cannot sense that praise in your heart, ask the Lord, Lord, I cannot sense thankfulness in me. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and I will thank you even in these circumstances. Rejoicing or not, pray continually. You can pray to enable you to pray. Many times I forget to pray. My prayer every night is that for me to thank the Lord. But I also pray that the Lord would remind me to thank Him and pray to thank Him. And many times I wake up, I cannot go to sleep. Even with tired body, I want to sleep. I cannot. And then I remember, oh, that was my prayer, that God would not allow me to go to sleep until I thank Him. So when I cannot sleep, I start praying because God remind me, and that's my prayer. Pray that God would remind you to pray. That is great. To pray continually if you could. Pray. We don't know what's ahead of us. We don't know what awaits us tomorrow. Accident may occur anytime. Did you know that there are planes who would just drop somewhere? There are stories, something like that. A plane would drop on the roof of a house. How could that happen? Or lightning would just strike somebody walking. How could that happen? Because we do not control situations. So it's good for us to keep praying. Now, going back to our passage, Apostle Paul and his team might be sailing smoothly, but Luke never recorded that they just relaxed while traveling. He did not say, I would just sleeping next to the driver or anything like that. Relaxing life is never intended to be rewarded. Did you know, or have you read in the Bible, if you have read, inform me, smooth sailing life will be rewarded by the Lord. Was it written? You can read that passage or similar to that, inform me. But I think I've read through the Bible a couple of times, and I haven't read anything similar to that, that smooth sailing life will be rewarded. So praying helps us also not to quench the Holy Spirit. Enable us, the Holy Spirit would enable us to be focused on His mission purposes of our lives. Relaxing life, enjoying life is anyone's dream. We love that and desire it. We desire it, but God will, but will God reward such lifestyle? No, no, I don't think so. It is more how we depend upon the Lord. Even with this most sailing life, if we are dependent upon the Lord and cannot and did not forget Him, then that would be the thing that be that would be rewarded. In your most sailing life, in your most travel, thank Him, and that would be rewarded, the prayerfulness that you have. But of course, it's by the Holy Spirit of the Lord that we would pray and ask Him to help us pray. Let's read again verse 4 to 6. We sought out the disciples there and stayed with them 7 days. So the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. When it was time to leave, we left and continued on our way. All of them, including wives and children, accompanied us out of the city. And there on the beach, we knelt to pray. After saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship, and they returned home. It says, the disciples in the Tyre might have heard about some Jewish spreading bad reports about Apostle Paul, and they might have been expecting that something bad would happen to Apostle Paul, and they urged him, don't go, don't go. Somebody is waiting for you there. And it was the Holy Spirit. Why would that be? Why did the Spirit want to inform again that Apostle Paul would face something bad in Jerusalem? Was it to discourage him? I believe it was for Apostle Paul to sense if he had that confidence in the Lord. Just as he declared that by the grace of God is sufficient for him. And from Kos to Rhodes to Patara to Phoenicia, passing through the south of Cyprus to Syria until they landed at Tyre, there was no significant event recorded. But when they met the disciples at the city of Tyre, when they stayed in Tyre for 7 days, there was warning from the Holy Spirit, and there was time of prayer with the other disciples. Let's read again verse 7 to 9. We continued on our voyage from Tyre and landed at Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the Evangelist, one of the seven. He had 4 married daughters who prophesied. Philip was one of the original 7 deacons that in the church of Jerusalem. And Apostle Paul and his mission team stayed with the disciples when they came to Tyre and at Ptolemais. That might be one reason Apostle Paul chose not to walk, to travel on land, but he sailed on board the ship because he could have spent extended time with the disciples in Asia if he traveled by land. But he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem before Pentecost. And at Caesarea is nearer to Jerusalem than Tyre, and Apostle Paul and his mission team stayed at the house of Philip. Philip was the evangelist who baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. And they had four daughters who were prophetess. Why was that included? Why did Dr. Luke include that Philip had four unmarried daughters or prophetess? And he might have trained his daughters to preach the word of the Lord. Now, many Christian groups, they consider this passage as biblical support for training evangelists or training witnesses, while others use it to justify lady preachers. Well, prophets, lady prophets, they are lady preachers. Nothing of that sort was mentioned there. It was more of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Philip, the evangelist, and his daughters. But whatever one would interpret it, nobody can stop when the Holy Spirit is at work in each one's life. The Holy Spirit, he worked with women and men, young and old, rich or poor, popular or unpopular folks, even unpopular leaders sometimes. Many times there's problem of understanding Romans 13, where it says, all authority are established by the Lord. And there are authorities that are not very popular, where they are popular of what they write on social media. They are popular of their whatever the Human Rights Commission do not like. They are popular of those things. Question is, did God anoint those leaders? Or did God anoint only the leader of churches or the leader of country like Canada? For you who don't like the leader of Canada, do you think that God anointed our leaders? In the Old Testament, there was an unpopular leader, the first king of Israel. Who was the first king of Israel? Saul, King Saul. King Saul was not very popular as King David. And King David was anointed by the Lord. And King Saul was also anointed by the Lord. Even if King Saul has different character from David, we can find an example of what happened in the life of King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9 to 12. Let's read this together. As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart, and all these signs were fulfilled that day. When he and his servants arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and he joined in their prophesying. When all those who had formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophet, they asked each other, "What is this that has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" Man who lived there answered, "And who is their father?" So it became saying, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" Now that was before King Saul was crowned king. When the time comes for Prophet Samuel to choose king of Israel, Saul displayed that he was not very courageous. He was a head taller than everyone. He was the tallest among the Israelites, and he was handsome too, and he should be popular, but he was not very courageous. Why? When the time comes when Prophet Samuel chose the king to anoint the first king, Saul hid himself. He was so scared because not many people are fond of him. Perhaps they were bullying him even if he was tall. Have you experienced that, young chick, in your life when you were taller than everyone and others would just bully you because you were the tallest in the group? Maybe he experienced that too in his time. Well, in the Old Testament, prophets are understood as messengers of God's word. And when Prophet Samuel anointed King Saul, the Israelites believed that God had talked through Samuel. And prophets would warn people or give vision of God's plan. But in the New Testament, prophets have similarities of the Old Testament. Prophets would give warning from God for a possible disaster in the future or in the next life or the next generation. But not all people can recognize when a prophet of God is talking. Do you recognize when a prophet is talking? Do we still have prophet in this generation? One feature of God's prophet is that when they speak, it is not easily accepted by everyone. Prophets of God are most likely unpopular, except for spirit-filled believers. Not many people would acknowledge a prophet. And many theologians, even scholars, say that prophet had stopped in the first century. But let's read this, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of fullness of Christ. Now here's a question that you may ponder upon. Do you believe that there are still prophets in these days? Do you believe that there are still churches that needed equipment for the works of the service? Because it says God gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Apostles, it's in Greek apostolos. Apostolos means, in English, the sent ones. Sent ones, meaning the pioneering workers. Most probably, they are the missionaries. And this is why Apostle Paul was a missionary and not a pastor, not evangelist, not even a prophet. But sometimes he also worked as a prophet. And prophets, they speak of God's word. They warn. Now, if you warn your neighbor, if you warn your family of the judgment day that would happen, you are talking of God's word, and then you are acting as prophet because you speak of God's word. Can you accept that? It's not necessary that you have the title, that office of prophets, just like Prophet Samuel and the others. It's not like that. But one question is, if Jesus gave prophets to the churches, how about in our generation? How about in our generation? Was he faithful in the first generation and not give prophets in our generation? Can you recognize a prophet of God, a messenger of God? Aren't those preachers expositing divine truth God's prophet? Because they speak of God's word. New Testament prophets are gifted in expositing divine truth. Prophet or not, pray that we are able to hear and listen when God speaks to each one of us. Even now, as we celebrate, as we remember the 30 years faithfulness of the Lord, pray that God would fill you with praise and thankfulness in your heart, so that as you remember this 30th anniversary of the Maples Evangelical Church, may the Lord enable us to remain faithful to Him individually and as a church.